Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. Hopefully you can hear me. And I had a little bit of a complication here, but hopefully you can hear me. And I want to welcome you again to this broadcast. And I am Apostle Johnny Floyd, and I'm blessed to be able to do this every Thursday night at 7 o'clock. And when I originally started this, I had various topics back in 2008. And here recently, I started, rejuvenizing this by talking about spiritual authority. And this was last year. And so going into this year, God kind of switched everything. And we've been discussing and going over the marketplace and the marketplace ministry. And so I want to continue that because I think it's critical, it's crucial in this hour. And I think there are some things that we need to really pay close attention to. We cannot lose sight of. A lot of us say we have our eyes on the prize, and we become more religious, not spiritual, but more religious in saying that. And so the prize that we have our eyes on is the calling, right? That's what we say. But the question is, in the marketplace, what has God called you to do? Understanding your calling in the marketplace. And I think that's critical. It's crucial, as well as the marketplace is still the body of Christ. So if possible, before I get real deep down into this and dive off into it, let's start with a word of prayer. Gracious God, Lord, we thank you. God, we appreciate you. Lord, I just glorify you in this hour. There is nothing new under the sun for you, and there's no other place I would rather be than what you have me doing right now, because, God, I know it's leading to something. It's going to open up doors. It's going to move things in the direction by which you want us to go. Father, I hope that our ears are open and our spirits are willing to receive what you have for us on this hour. Lord, I thank you. I glorify you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. I find it interesting that most of the things that we've taught, or most of the things that we hear people teaching today, and it has spurred a lot of conversation. And I'll say this, at one point in my life, I wanted to do a spiritual, not a religious, but a spiritual magazine called The State of the Spiritual Union. And anybody that knows me, I always inspire to do some things, and God give me ideas, and I try to follow through with them. But it was critical, The State of the Spiritual Union. I wanted to know what God was saying to the people sitting in California, in New York, in Seattle, in Hawaii, in Alaska, those that are in Europe, those that are in Italy, Germany, wherever they are, speaking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I wanted to know if the message was consistent. And so the consistency of the message really lets the people that are following us understand and know that we are hearing the same thing from God. I explicitly say this, because if a man or woman can't hear from God, it is difficult for them to obey a God that they cannot hear from, and only one God really speaks, in the terms of speaking to your spirit. If it is not communicating with your spirit, if it's trying to communicate with your flesh, it's not God. God is a spirit, and St. John 4:24 identifies this, that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So, it's critical, it's crucial in this hour that our ears are open to hear whatever God is saying. And so the Lord has moved me over into the marketplace, and which is unique. It's unique because When we were raised, when I grew up in the Holiness Church, and my father being a Holiness preacher, pastor, teacher. I mean, he was that. He was that New Age evangelist in an old organization. I would say that. And so, but he knew a lot referencing the Word of God, and some things he knew, but he would never admit to because it went against the religious organization that he was with. And so he expressed to me, though, this was his expression to me, son, if a man or woman cannot hear from God, they cannot obey God. This is something that he crucially pushed over me. So sometimes it was inconsistent with his message because religious organization he believed in or was a part of, I don't want to say believed in, did not believe that God was speaking outside of the written, chronicalized Bible. And now I believe God spoke, you know, what he did back then, because what is chronicalized and what is written, what is transcribed in word, says he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Now, that's critical, right? Because if he's the same, and he has not changed, and now he created the earth.
I hope you all can hear me now. If you cannot hear me, please shoot me a text. There's some technical difficulties that are going on. At any rate, I pray that you all can hear me. I pray that you can hear me. If you can, just shoot me a text and let me know those that have my information. I believe that we are live. Yeah, I think we are. I think we are live. So, at any rate, we are on the air. So I want to get back to this, and I cannot at this moment tell who is actually, who is actually on.
So I want to get back to this, and I cannot at this moment tell who is actually on.
So what's important right now, again, is we're talking about the ministry and the marketplace, right? And so I think, again, what is interesting about this is the fact that God has given us the earth as a provision. I want to get back to this. And in that provision, he has given us the authority to pull from the earth. I hear people talk about man being the provider for the household. Man has never been the provider for the household because God provided for man before man even knew who he was. But he did give us the authority to extract that provision from the earth. And so now when you extract that provision from the earth, you are entering something that we call the marketplace. And so we serve God now through people. So the ministry of the marketplace or the ministry itself is how do we serve God? And I'm getting to the topic here is, what is your calling? You know, what is the thing that God has called you to do? How in this marketplace, understanding the thing that God has asked of thee. And so, again, I want to put this out here so you understand it and you can grab a hold of it. The thing that you have passion for is the thing that God is using you to do business in the marketplace, okay? The very thing that you have passion for is the thing that God is using that you can do business in the marketplace. So now what's interesting about that is the fact that, you know, we have different talents and different gifts. I'm going to go biblical for a sense because we've separated the gifts that God has given us to only be in the church. And when I say church, that means we become religious and the place that has the four walls and the steeple on top of it. That's what we have identified as the church. But I want to destroy that understanding. That is just a building. That is not the church. The church is alive, and that building has no life in it if you cut the lights off. It cannot breathe, it cannot eat, it cannot feel. It's just a physical structure. So that is not the church. The church is not controlled by or not determined by who walks in and out of that building. That is not the church. Man cannot have the authority to tell you who is a part of the church. It does tell us to know those that labor. Now, watch this word now, that labor among you. And we've only considered the laboring as the thing that we do inside the four walls. So now I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, and I'm going to read some things because I want to establish where I'm going with this. Now concerning, this is 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. We know that we were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understanding that no man speaking by the Spirit of God call it Jesus accused, right, accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. So your gifts that you have, it is a gift, it is an ability to have something that allows you to draw from the earth. Because we need the earth to render unto us what is needed. And then that is in the body of Christ. I want y'all to grab a hold of this now, right? And since there are different operations of the gift, but they all come from God. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Now, so we think we said a manifestation of the Spirit, right, that we're talking about, you know, somebody speaking in tongues. That's where we go with that. And that's not, and it talks about diversity of tongues and the gift of tongues, right? And so, but it's not speaking as we have placed things to be spiritual or above the head and beyond understanding. Because I'm about to say something now. Because the spiritualness of the gift indicates that it is from God and controlled by God. So your gift that you have is from God and is controlled by God. God gives you the authority to use the gift, but he can take the gift away, right? So for one is given by the Spirit of the word wisdom, to the other the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Now, it is not when it says the Spirit or the Spirit of the word of wisdom to another the word of knowledge, it is not talking about what we hold in our hands, the Bible. It is talking about the word that God speaks to you. He gives you wisdom, and that same Spirit gives you the word of knowledge. So there are some things that you have that are going to benefit you in the marketplace, because there are areas in the marketplace that you've been called to. There are areas in the marketplace that you've been called to, right? And if you don't understand that, then you'll keep twiddling your thumbs doing things that God never asked of you to do. And you'll get frustrated because it's not successful for you, right? Now, so again, the gifts, we're not talking about preaching, teaching, evangelizing, and those things. So to make it plain, I'm going to keep reading this, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, right? And so healing is a gift. Faith is a gift, right? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. It doesn't say faith cometh by reading the Bible. It means that you have to have an ear to hear what God is saying to you, right? So I want you to grab hold of this now, because it's critical. We take God to the building we call church, and we leave him at home when we go to work. I'm going to say that again. We bring God with us when we go to the building called church, but we leave him at home when we go to the place we call work. But if God is speaking to you, then he's giving you instructions on how to draw from the earth. I want you to grab a hold of this, right? Because that spirit of wisdom, that spirit of knowledge, is telling you what to do in order to draw from the earth. If God gives you an idea to draw from the earth, he's giving you that idea because it is the gift that is making room for you. Not just interpreting tongues or miracles. There are some miracles that take place in the marketplace. when man sets up his rules for you and tries to determine that you need to walk through certain steps in order to get the financing to go into business, God will step in and do something different. That's a miracle, meaning that it goes against what has normally been set up, and he makes it happen. So you have to now understand what your calling is in the marketplace. You have to grab a hold of that, because if not, you'll go to church and dance, shout, and sing, and leave there wondering how you're going to pay your bills. That's crazy. How do you believe God to save you, but you don't believe God to show you where you draw from the earth and it has already provided for you? These are gifts. This is a spiritual gift, and he's giving you this. Again, how do you believe God that he will save you, but you have difficulty believing God when it comes to drawing from the earth? In the marketplace, can I make it very, very simple for you? If we plant a seed, we all know about seed planting because people use that in order to talk about money. In seed planting, well, if you plant orange trees or orange seeds, it's going to take time for that orange seed to turn into a plant that will take time for it to grow to be strong enough now to receive the nutrients from the soil, from the rain, and then to be strong enough to produce oranges. And now, this happens today, but the oranges are harvested and sold. The same with apples, the same with strawberries, same with grapes. They are harvested and they are sold. So someone has entered the marketplace to plant orange seeds to harvest oranges in one point in time and sell them. They sell them and it becomes orange juice in certain different type of flavors, or become oranges. Or they shave the peelings and they come up with some artificial flavor. It's just that orange comes out and does many things. Some have created vitamin C from that. The production of that one orange or oranges is just not being sold for orange juice. It has many other additives or things it can be used for. So now I'm going to say something crazy. If God has given us the permission to draw from the earth, and you can draw from it, why are you paying someone for something that God gave you the authority to receive yourself? Especially if this is the gift that he's given you. Let's get beyond preaching, evangelizing, those type of things. I want you to step away from the present day 21st century church. Because there are so many things that God has given you ideas for. If you would just listen to him and trust him, he's given you authority to draw now from the earth. I'm going to continue reading. And I want you to hear this now. For all these worketh that one, this is verse number 11, 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 11. But all these worketh that one and the same self spirit, dividing to every man severely or a lot of as he will, meaning that you have multiple gifts. For as the body is one and has many members, and all of the members of that one body being many of one body, so also is Christ. For the spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, or have been made to drink into one spirit. For one body is not one member, but many. Now, I'm going to tell you how God gave me this. So we spiritually are connected to one another. right? And the body of Christ feeds off of each other. That's a responsibility that we have, that God has given us in this earth that we produce, right? And now I want you to grab a hold of this now. There's a responsibility that God has given us in the body of Christ. We are connected, but we have something to produce. If you only think that this is in the four walls of the 21st century that we call the church, and you leave that church giving your gift as a slave, when God has given you that gift as an owner, you are now not allowing the body of Christ to experience the fullness of the gift that God has given you. I don't want that to go over nobody's head. And I want to say it like this. You know, y'all know I'm a hard-nosed entrepreneur, you know, and I dig in because we label it as an entrepreneur, but this is doing business in the marketplace. If I'm a professional at what I do, and God gave me the gift to do it, but I use that gift as an employee, when he gave me that gift as an employer, I still have not obeyed God. I'm going to say that again. If I use the gift that God gave me as an employee, when he gave me that gift as an employer, I still haven't obeyed God. Because from the employer perspective, I had more that the body of Christ could benefit from than it could as me as an employee. I know that may sound strange to a whole bunch of people, but listen to this now. You know, and this is what it says. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not the body? Now, again, we like to make this about spiritual or churchy stuff. My hand is itching. We like to make this about churchy stuff, you know. But this is beyond the 21st century church. This was about a group of believers that have been called by God, identified by His Spirit, to do something in the earth, and then make a stand that people may see God working in you. Notice that now. And if you have fear to do something that God has asked you to do, check it out now. You can stand up and shout all day long and say, I believe God, hallelujah, hallelujah, speak in tongues. I need to get my grandson on here so he can speak in tongues for you. And still not believe God about where He's sending you and come up with every excuse not to do it. You have taken the talent that He has laid before you and you buried it. The body of Christ now cannot benefit from what God has given you because it is His gift. It is His gift. I'm gonna say something because this is critical. Somebody told me yesterday that I make finding contracts like the ones that God has given me, I make it look easy. So I don't panic about nothing when stuff happens. I keep an even keel, you know, and I don't get overextended. And say, how do you do that? I said, because I know God made me a promise. And His promise was not linked to what happens in the four walls you call the church. He linked me to marketplace. And it's in that marketplace that he's allowed me to touch everybody, not just the people that are walking to that building that we call the church. Because my calling and no one's calling has ever been locked up in a building. You cannot show me one time. Only thing Jesus did in the temple was read. Everything he did outside of that, if he was healing people, it was in the marketplace. If he was delivering people, it was in the marketplace. If people were finding financial reward, it was in the marketplace. They weren't waiting for it to come into the mailbox. They weren't waiting to run to church on a Sunday, that building that someone would lay hands on and tell them what God has already told them. It was happening in the marketplace. Because in that marketplace, you find white, black, Hispanic, Asian, Korean, German, Italian. You find all different nationalities and groups of people. You find male, female, and those that consider themselves transgender or cross-gender. You find the gay, you find the straight in the marketplace. Because as it is written, God has no respect of person. And if we ever get this in our head, if we ever grab a hold of this, 2020 is crucial. Because if we can understand that God has placed us in the marketplace, if we are where he wants us to be, doing what he asked of us to do, you will never go lacking. You will never go lacking. And I'm going to be honest with y'all. Y'all just listening to me. You know, I came back to Georgia, but I'm going to be honest with you. I think my calling is in Florida. In Florida, and I'm itching to get back there when he say go. Again, I'm waiting for him to tell me to go. Trust me. I'm so waiting for him to say go, y'all will see the smoke when he said, and before the O come out. I'm gone. I want to be in the place. I want to be in the area. I want to be touching and doing the things that God had asked me to do without any restraints because of a religious organization or because of a locale or what people think. I'm 54 years old. I'm so beyond what folk think about me is y'all wouldn't know. You wouldn't know. I'm not concerned about who has something to say in reference to what I do or how I do it. As long as I do what God has asked me to do, he's the one I got to answer to. Why would God allow it to be written as a parable when Jesus spoke it about the talents? We like to use the talents as money. But what is the talent, the very thing that God has given you to do? And because of fear, you're burying it. God gave you a gift to write, and you're waiting on people to endorse you. Write. The body of Christ needs the writing. It may not be your typical book dealing with religious stuff. It could be a book dealing with marriage. It could be a book dealing with business. It could be a book dealing with children, because the people that he's called needs to hear what he has put in you to write. It could be a business in the medical field. It could be a business in the educational field. It could be a business in the electronics field, engineering. It could be in mechanicals. It could be in the car industry. It could be any place that God has given you the authority to draw from the earth. He said that we are not beggars. And if we are not beggars, he's given you a gift, And if you use it correctly, I said one time, if you speak to the earth the way that God had commanded that you do, it has to release your provision. It has to release your provision. Because the Bible said that this is in Malachi chapter number 3, if you bring all ye the tithes and offer to the storehouse, prove ye in this day that I will not open you. It didn't say open up the windows of heaven. It said open you the windows of heaven. That means God called you the windows. The prophet identified you as the windows of heaven, meaning that the gift of what's about to be poured out is going to come out of you. It has to come out of you. I can identify this because no river flowed through the garden. It flowed out of it. It generated and started in the garden and flowed outward. So whatever God has in you, the presence of the Lord being in you, it has to flow out of you. It's contained on the inside of you, but it's uncontained when it comes out of you. The marketplace, the business owners, the ones that love God, the ones that trust what he said that is a part of the body of Christ, that is able to hear the Lord, to have a thriving business, to love his people, and to give them jobs. Everybody ain't meant to own a business. Then I get it. But the ones that should own the business are holding those down that are going from job to job because they're doing something that God never asked them to do. And because they're working outside of what God asked them, it doesn't last long. It always comes to an end. Have you ever been working for someone and you feel like that you're not getting paid enough and they're working you just as hard and you have to work on their conditions and their restraints and stuff of that nature and you can't do the things that you believe that God is asking you to do? Don't let everybody raise their hand one time. And you struggle with the fact that you have to go do this, and you have a passion for doing it the way that God asks you to do it, and you refuse what we call step out on faith and just obey God. Faith is a gift. And he's giving you faith in order that you should do it. Think about that. I'm going to read a little bit more of this, so I'm getting close to an end. I'm out here, 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 21. It says, And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, right? So, yeah, I mean, there's some things that you just don't think highly of, and you don't think it's that important, because this is a position that God put you in, right? You know, well, I'm not educated, okay? All I know how to do is clean house. Well, they got many organizations or companies out here that go and clean other people's homes, because folks don't be around long enough to make sure their house is clean. I got someone, and I wish I could contact that person right now. They had been working as a CNA, and she was working for $10 an hour. Seriously, working for $10 an hour, and she thought that was good money. She thought that was good money. I'm being honest with you. And so she didn't have health insurance, didn't have vacation, but she working for $10 an hour and they're taking taxes out. So I had a short conversation with her, and I said, do you know that there are families that will pay you the Medicare rate to sit with their loved one because they don't want to put them in a nursing facility. And she told me, she said, anybody, you know, what they going to pay me, $15 an hour? I said, no. No. I said, you can make at least $2,800 a week. And she said, stop lying. I said, I'm serious. And so it was a week later that for some reason she couldn't afford a payment on a car. Well, that was the reason. And she couldn't go to work. Lost her job. And she was going to do something. I forgot what it was. She called me and said, this lady asked me to come sit with her mother. And she wanted me to do it from Sunday night to Friday afternoon. I said, 24 hours? She said, yeah. I said, wow. You going to do it? She said, well, what should I charge it? She told me that she would pay me $3,000 to $3,500 a week to do it. And she said to me, I don't know if I should do that. I said, what? She said, well, she wanted to do something called a 1099. I said, have you started a business? And she said, well, no. I said, well, start one. What you waiting on? Start a business, and your business is sitting with the elderly. You know? So she wants you to do anything else? She said, well, yeah. I said, well, then draw up a contract, and after you start your business, and ask for the SOW. She said, what's that? I said, statement of work. And I had to really kind of back off for a minute because she didn't understand terminology that I was using. So long story short, she decided to do it. And the first time she got a check for $3,500 in 1 week, she didn't know how to act. She said, they're actually going to pay me $14,000 a month. I said, it's going to be more than that because in some months you got more than 4 weeks in it. I said, but you can anticipate them paying you $7,000 every 2 weeks. She did not know how to act. She never made that kind of money before. Now, the sad story is she started telling herself, well, I don't have health insurance. You're getting $7,000 every 2 weeks. You can't afford to pay your own health insurance? She said, I don't have dental health. I said, call the people at Humana or Blue Cross Blue Shield. Talk to these folks. And again, I had to understand, she didn't know about this stuff. People fear the unknown and would rather get it from a company and then pay them pennies and feel comfortable about health insurance or whatever they make, and not understand the fact that you're making more money. She had the freedom now to do stuff that she did not even think she could do. She had lost her car, but, you know, through that, she was able, after a couple of months, went and bought her a car for cash. I'm here to tell you, you don't have to take what's being offered to you because they're offering it. You can make more money. You can really draw from the earth and do the things that God is asking of you to do. If you don't do what God is asking you, this is when it becomes difficult to give, because now you're penny pinching to give. You're struggling to give. And then if you don't obey God, somebody else comes up and do it. And you say, well, Lord, I thought you wanted me to do that, but you didn't move. You did not do anything. And there's a possibility what God is asking you to do is time sensitive. It ain't going to be there always. We have to work together. I may not be the mechanic, but if God has blessed you, my brother, my sister, to be one of the greatest mechanics that they have in that location, why are you still doing this for someone when you can do this for yourself? They need you. The clients that need their car fixed come in looking for you because you work there. The patients call the doctor's office wondering if you there because you care for them. The doctor has you there to ensure that the patients keep coming. Not that he may not be a bad physician, he might be a good physician, but to have one of the greatest nurses that work there helps him out. So if he's making $5 or $6 million off of you because they love you, oh, he goes there and pays you about 65, 70, maybe 80 grand a year working in a doctor's office. And you think you're doing it, and it's not bad money. But when you know how much you're worth, it's hard to go back to punching the clock for someone, especially when that's not what God asked of you to do. What am I saying tonight? What's my message? I want to stay on point. You have to understand, step outside of those four walls called the church. Hear God tell you what he wants from you, and he wants that from you because he put a gift in you. And you get frustrated, easy, when things don't go the way that you think they should, but you work for someone, and you don't have any control over that. So why are you getting angry? Why are you getting frustrated? It is only when you have the authority to set the stage in that business that it delivers the service that you are known for. I have people that I love that are very gifted. It is difficult for me to hang around them because they waste their gift giving it to people that don't even appreciate who they are. It's difficult for me to be around them. I had a conversation with my brother today, and in his anger, he has tolerated being, you're trying to pull people up out of just being mediocre. You know, they've settled now for what life has to throw at them. And he called, you know, he called me. I went to see him, and he shared his heart with me, you know, when I went to see him. And he said, man, we're entrepreneurs. You know, we got gifts. I can't be around these folks no more that don't want to do anything. Now, for you all that are in your late 40s or in your 50s who think that, it's too late to go do something, shake yourself. Now is that time. Don't settle in because of the fact that it don't make sense for you to do it. Don't make sense to who? If you don't do it, somebody else will. Somebody else is preparing to do the very thing that God has asked of you. They're waiting on it right now. They're anticipating it. Don't let the gift. You have a calling in the marketplace. Your ministry that's in the marketplace is that ability to draw something out of the earth and trade it as a service to those that need it. Now, if you thought I was going to, you know, for you all that looks like I got a lot of people on the call, that maybe your first time calling in, you're like, man, this ain't the gospel according to, well, this is the gospel. Because Jesus chose his 12 out of the marketplace. He used the marketplace that they were in to speak parables unto them, that they would understand what he was asking of them. And he never pulled them out of the marketplace. He never told Peter that he would stop him from fishing. He just told him, I'm going to make you a fisherman of men. Never did he ever pull them out of the marketplace, because that's where he saw them. That's where they saw him. I'm going to push this narrative as long as God wants me to. And I tell you, with 10 minutes left to go, if we don't do this thing the way God has asked, there's another storm coming. There is another storm coming. And in the midst of that storm, for all those people that didn't move on what God has asked them to do, they won't have money, and they'll be begging again. Somebody's going to help you. Somebody's going to reach out to you, and that's good. I pray to God that I have drew enough from the earth to help a lot of people. But pride is going to stop a whole bunch of people from asking for help. That's right. Pride. Folks that love God, their pride is going to show up. And they're going to be asking God, Lord, how in the world would you let this happen to me? But he told you when they decided to fire you, but when he was talking about laying you off, he was trying to position you that you would know now that they are not your provider. He is. For the women that have went through divorce and you thought that you had to have a man to provide, the man was never the provider. God has always been the provider. He teaches both of us, men and women, to draw from the earth. You have a passion or skill or a love for something. And with that passion, skill, and love, you do it and you draw from the earth. I know some people that can cook now, cook a dish, and nobody else can cook like that. They use the same ingredients and cook it the same way, but they don't come out the same. I don't understand that. They have a passion for this, and they love it, and they put love in their food, and you can taste it. You can taste those that don't put love in their food, too. What is your calling? I want to light a fire unto you. And I'm going to say it this way. For you have children that you're supposed to leave a legacy for. If you're working for someone, you're working to retire. You're counting on the retirement, they may not be there. You're trusting the 401k plan that may fall. Your greatest retirement plan is to use the gift that God gave you in the marketplace. That's your greatest plan. That's what's making room, and you will benefit from. That is the power of this conversation, is that we as God people not get caught up in the fluff like we did the last time. We bought houses we couldn't afford. We didn't understand finances. We positioned ourselves in a place that we could only just fail, believing what folks told us, trying to live like the Joneses. They got a $4,000 square foot home. I want a 5,000 square foot home. He's driving an Escalade. I'm going to get me a Range Rover, you know, and just piling up debt. and not understanding that the bank can call these loans at any day. What is the plan that God has for you? How do you execute it? Are you really looking for that thing that God has given you, or you're trying to mirror what someone else is doing? Whatever your passion is, y'all have heard me say this, and I'm going to say it again. You will always hear me say this. Whatever you have a passion for, whatever your passion is, God gave you permission to do it. I have a passion to do business in the marketplace. My apostolic calling is to meet God's people in the marketplace. It's to transform lives from the marketplace, not just from a building, not waiting on Sunday to when everybody can show up and compete against football during football season, or compete against basketball on Tuesday and Thursday night, college football on Saturday. If I'm amongst them, I have just brought Jesus in the midst of them. And they should see something that will want them to follow the same God. But Sunday has become the greatest day that we separate ourselves. And that's interesting, because this last piece of scripture that I'm going to read still comes from 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 25. And this is about the body of Christ. But I'm going to read 24 first. For our commonly parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Listen to this now. There should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care one for another. The word schism means division or separation. There should be no division among you, but on Sunday we are so divided that it is crazy. But it's in the marketplace that people come together to do a job or to do the things that are going to help obtain the necessary resources for their family. How are you going to draw from the earth? Do you want to draw from the earth from an hourly rate, or do you want that basket busting open from the fish that you just pulled out of the water? Do you want it from the hourly rate, or are you looking at the field with thousands of trees that are producing oranges, or thousands of trees that are producing apples? Critical in this hour. And so I just want you all to think about that and keep that in your hearts and your mind. So if you would, as we close, let's just say a word of prayer. Gracious God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. God, we appreciate you. Lord, we adore you. Father, I pray that the gifts you've given your people, that they pull them out of the ground and not allow them to stay there dead. Oh, God, bury them because they're afraid to move on the thing that you have given them to do. For those that are excited about what you've given them, God, open up the heavens that they be the window to it, and pour out now, God, all the things that are waiting to flow. I bless you, O God. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray, amen. Well, my dear hearts, I thank you so much. I do apologize for the technical difficulties that I suffered through this situation. You know, I pray that you had the opportunity to hear me, and God bless you all. You know, I love you all, and until next Thursday, you be safe now and follow what God has asked of you to do.